Thanks for checking out JACcast, a podcast series researched, written, and recorded and produced by the 8th grade students at Newwood School in Santa Monica, California.
Welcome to The Journey of Hope, a podcast that explores the remarkable stories of my grandparents who left their homeland and embarked on a journey to create a better life for themselves and their families. I am your host, Soraya Mahpour, and today we're going to delve into a deeply personal story of immigration. My guest today is my mother, Elizabeth Yadani. Hi, Mom.
How are you? Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. In this episode, we will follow the incredible journey of my Iranian immigrant grandparents, who came to the United States during the 1979 Iranian Revolution. Their initial plan was to stay for 2 years while conducting research at UCLA, but the revolution unfolding back in Iran turned their temporary stay into a life-altering journey. Our story begins in 1977, when Dr. Mashi Elashkari and Dr. Cyrus Yazdani packed their bags and made their way to the United States. They had an opportunity to conduct research at the prestigious University of California, Los Angeles. Their plan was clear: 2 years in the U.S. for academic research, then back to their lives in Tehran. Can you tell me what life was like for my grandparents when they first arrived in the United States?
Yes, when your grandparents first arrived in the United States, they were so excited to be able to come to this country. They grew up in Iran, where a lot of the famous actors and actresses from the United States were idolized. Your grandmother had, you know, American hairstyles, and there were so many Americans working in Iran. There was a true westernization of Iran, and they adopted a lot of the culture and, you know, different trends that were happening in the United States. So for them, coming here was really, really exciting. And for the first part of their journey here, they thought it was a temporary stay, and so they were really happy to be here and to just get their own taste of the American culture. It really did feel like a vacation for them, and they were so happy.
And so they brought their kids to their new place and all that.
Right, they had babies, and so they thought that they would learn a little bit of English even though they were tiny. So they were really happy.
So as my grandparents considered returning to Iran, their beloved ones warned them not to come back. How did they make this decision? It must have been so difficult for them.
This was a really difficult decision for them to make, and as a matter of fact, they packed their bags at least 2 to 3 times and had tickets in hand and were ready to get on a plane when they received emergency calls telling them not to come back to Iran. During this time in 1979, the Iranian Revolution was, you know, moving forward with full force. There were protests on the streets. There were hundreds of thousands of people being killed and hung, and then followed the Iranian hostage crisis, where Americans were held hostage in the embassy, and there was just a lot of turmoil happening in the country. And, you know, soon thereafter, the revolution was, you know, complete, and there was a new regime in place, which was the Islamic Republic. And that really changed Iranians' lives dramatically.
The biggest changes that happened in Iran after the revolution?
So I think the most significant changes were really that, you know, the government went from a monarchy to an Islamic regime, which means that everything was governed under their version of Islam. And for my parents in particular, you know, what was most significant was the fact that really women overnight became extremely oppressed. They have to wear hijabs, they have to cover their bodies completely, they're not allowed to dance in the street, they're not allowed to own property, they don't have custody rights in the case of a divorce. They, you know, really lost pretty much any rights that they would have. And this oppressive government and way of living continues to this day, with Iranian women and girls really facing so much sexism, so much much misogyny and so much oppressive tactics and behavior from the Islamic Republic.
As the days turned into weeks and weeks turned into months, my grandparents realized that their dreams of returning to Iran were slipping away. They left behind a full life, teaching positions at University of Tehran, a close-knit community, an extensive network of families and friends. How did they cope with this great loss?
Their journey in the United States was far from smooth. The Iranian hostage crisis had cast a dark shadow over the Iranian community in the United States. The anti-Iranian sentiment led to a series of unfortunate experiences for your grandparents, including racism and discrimination. You know, they really struggled as they tried to figure out how to start a new life here. They no longer had teaching positions at the or research positions at UCLA. And my mom at this point had three very young children, ages 5 and under, and really couldn't work. And your grandfather was trying desperately to find a job. He actually ended up working for a pharmaceutical technical company, and he was doing really, really well there. And he created this new invention for them. And somebody at the company stole his invention and fired him from the company. And at that point, your grandfather had many years of unemployment because he was trying to pass the pharmacy board here. And it was all in English. And it was incredibly difficult for him to try to do that.
How did my grandparents assimilate to American life and culture?
It was really difficult for your grandparents to assimilate to American life for many reasons. You know, obviously, as much as they had, you know, idolized American culture in the United States and, you know, watched the movies, it wasn't the same thing as actually living in the country. And, you know, your grandfather faced unemployment for about 5 to 6 years, and it was just a really difficult time for our family financially. You know, there were many times where he even said, you know, we could end up being homeless, and it was scary for all of us. And also your aunt, when she was going to school, she had started kindergarten. This was when the Iranian hostage crisis was going on, and Americans felt a lot of anger towards Iranians. And so she was bullied relentlessly at school. She faced racism, and your grandmother went to the school principal to talk to her about it, to get help. And, you know, they had a school assembly where they talked about, you know, making sure that there was kindness and inclusiveness. And this actually made matters worse, and she got bullied even more after that assembly. And I think for your grandparents, really the fixation became education. They just believed that if their daughters were highly educated, got really good grades, became really successful, that that would somehow get rid of any racism or discrimination and just lead to safe, stable, happy lives. And so that's all they thought about, was us being really successful in school, doing really well, going to the top universities. And, you know, as you know, your aunts are physicians now, and I got my law degree. And for them, that was the meaning of success and what they had hoped for really their whole life.
What was this period of time like for my grandparents adjusting to American life?
Adjusting to American life was really difficult for your grandparents. They grew up in a culture where everyone is together all the time. You have family and friends coming over, whether you like it or not, knocking on your door, exchanging food, exchanging pleasantries, sitting down for tea. You really are surrounded by a lot of family and community. And when they found themselves in the United States, there was this deep sense of loneliness, not just for, you know, the loss that they had with not having their family and their friends around and missing them. And of course, that was a big part of it, but also just, you know, there was more of sort of a individual living style here in the United States. And they really weren't used to this. They were constantly searching for community and friends and family, and sort of how can they get rid of this loneliness that they were feeling.
In the face of so many hardships, Masheed and Cyrus demonstrated resilience and determination. Over the years, they worked hard to overcome obstacles and build a better life for their family. Do you think, looking back, they were happy with their decision? Would they change anything?
I think that if you asked both of my parents if they were happy with their decision, I think they would, you know, have mixed feelings about it. I think they both missed Iran. You know, they've always missed Iran. Their whole lives, they have wanted to go back to the Iran that they knew, not the Iran that exists currently, but the Iran that they grew up in. And so there's always going to be a grief, a sadness, and trauma around not being able to be in their home country and live the lives that they thought they were going to live. At the same time, I don't think they would change a single thing. For them, the priority was making sure that their three daughters had opportunity, grew up in freedom and choice, and were able to really have self-determination and, you know, guide their own lives. And, you know, your grandmother is a big feminist, and the thought of her, you know, daughters wearing a hijab and having to cover themselves or not having rights really, you know, was an impossible thing for her to grasp. And she would never make that choice, and either would your grandfather. So I think ultimately, you know, they were happy with the decision they make, despite how much they struggled and suffered. There were really positive things that came out of it. They were able to raise three daughters that, you know, became successfully educated and had full lives. And here you are today because of, you know, all of their grit and determination.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Journey of Hope. We hope you found my grandparents' story as inspiring as I have. Please subscribe and stay tuned for more stories of hope and resilience from immigrants around the world. If you have a story to share or like to suggest a topic for our future episodes, please reach out to us. Until next time, I'm Sarai Mahapur, signing off.